following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The show has been airing for more than 20 years. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program, inviting you to contact us with comments or show ideas. The email address is studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Is it over? It ain't over. Or is it over? The presidential election, there are lawsuits filed. I'll tell you what, we need to talk about that today here on Open Phones. The presidential election, the Senate, one seat away there, the House, House of Representatives, things are changing with those numbers. We'll get you an update on that. State government could very well change too. So that is ahead here as we talk about reactions and results from the 2020 election here today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, a man who enjoys pizza with extra anchovies.
I do not.
It's Tom Schultz.
It is Tom Schultz, but I am not a fan of anchovies. And nobody eats anchovies on their pizza. And anchovies are what? What are they? It's fish, right?
Yeah, dead, nasty fish.
Nobody puts dead fish on their pizza. Thank you, Josh Rath. I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate some pizza every now and again.
What about pineapple?
I'm okay with everything but anchovies.
Okay.
Okay? Bring it on. Bring on the phone calls here today at 866-627-5483 or text messages at 781-627-5483. I've got some updates I want to share, and I just think it was time to kind of open up the phones. We've had some guests on right after the election. Only had a little bit of time, really, to kind of share. I want to get your thoughts on some things, and I don't want to be the only one talking here. All right, I'm going to bring some updates on this presidential election, talk about the Senate race a little bit, and I'm curious if you're curious about this Georgia Senate race. I mean, it's going to be talk of the nation for the next 2 months. You think that we just went through a sort of a nasty election here, and really, I don't know if it was all that nasty in Montana. I've seen it worse, but it was really bad in Georgia, and we'll talk about that, and it's not over there. And it's very important because the power of government rests on those two special runoff elections in Georgia. So I'm just curious if you're curious about it. For me, I try to keep Montana focused, but this has implications. I mean, it really has national implications because, of course, the Democrats won the White House. They control still the House of Representatives. And if they get the control of the Congress, and it can happen if those two Georgia seats go to Democrats. The Republicans just need to win one of them. They'll have their 51 seat majority and be able to, at least with that majority, control some things. Because I know that a lot of people are real worried about a potential radical agenda. And I think there's very valid reasons to worry about a radical agenda coming from the Biden White House. All right, we can share some thoughts on the election as well. I don't know if you think it's over or not. I tend to think it's over. I don't mind President Trump, though, doing what he's doing. And I'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But it's 866-627-5483. Those things are on the plate today. And tomorrow we're going to talk with Governor-elect Greg Gianforte. We have him on for that first half hour, and I was talking with Taylor Brown earlier today, or he was, we do a little meeting, little morning meeting with the entire staff here. Taylor, state senator for a couple of terms, lifelong Montanan, so he's involved in the political process, and I've always appreciated his perspective on things. Pretty fair guy, wants to be balanced about things, wants to listen to people. He is going to be a conservative, those typical Montana values, I think, that we talk about smaller government, you know, personal accountability, those kinds of things. And also, you know, fiscal restraint and spending. At least let's spend our money wisely. And I think a lot of Montanans share those kind of values. So anyway, the point I was making was he was very, very deliberate when he said things are changing. Elections have consequences. He's been through a few. I've been through a few. And whether you kind of are aware of it or not, those people who are inside that, inside the beltway, so to speak, they're very tied up into this. Their lives have changed an awful lot. We'll talk a little bit about that later on, perhaps, if we get a chance. But more specifically tomorrow with Governor-elect Greg Gianforte. We'll come on and he'll talk about the transition. And I've, opined about it here just a little bit in that you look at those almost three dozen state agencies that are underneath the governor's office, and that governor's office has been in control for 16 years by the Democrats. So you got a pretty, for lack of a better word, a deep state. And I think we've talked about the deep state here. I don't think it's controversial to talk about. I think that you can see it happens in Washington, D.C. And I think you can see if you look at those 36 agencies, 16 years under Democratic control, there's probably a bit of a deep state there in our capital city of Helena, Montana. So state government will change. And again, just going back to Taylor Brown, I appreciated those comments about realizing that. And you had that opportunity to ask, okay, I didn't like state government for the last 16 years. Here's what I want to see. So that's some things that you can kind of put together for tomorrow. It's not exactly where I'm going here today, but I am going to take a break here. Then we'll come back and update the presidential election, the numbers. You know, it has been called, obviously, for Joe Biden. President Trump is still holding out hope for some things. I'm not sure that he's going to get over the ledge on that. And we'll talk about that, the numbers and how they shape up right now. And then we'll look at the Senate. We'll look at the House and maybe look at a few other things here as well, like magic mushrooms being legalized in Oregon. I know. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Back with more in a bit. Right, we're going to have to probably get used to Joe Biden in the White House and kind of want to go through that a little bit. But let's look at these numbers here. Welcome back, Tom Schultz, Voices of Montana. Pennsylvania has been called for Joe Biden. He has a 49.8 to 49% lead. That's roughly 53,000 votes. You're going to see a little more court action coming out of Pennsylvania because the thing that the Supreme Court needs to decide is whether the Pennsylvania Supreme Court acted illegally in setting their own date for the ballots to be received, the postmarked on time, but to be counted up through, what was it, the 12th or the 9th or something like that. That was not in line with the Constitution that gives the legislature the power to set those dates. And the Pennsylvania legislature did that at an earlier date. So that court case is yet to be decided. But there's 53,000 votes that separates folks, Biden and Trump, in Pennsylvania. That's going to be an awful lot. It's a little bit less in Georgia, where they're going to have an automatic count. Georgia has not been declared yet. Right now it's leaning Biden 49.5 to 49.2. That's only 14,000 votes yet. And I think they've got 99% reporting on the presidential race, 98% on the Senate race. That's a key state. Also, where they'll probably have an automatic recount because the separation is 0.7% is Wisconsin. That had long been given to Biden. He won that state by roughly 20,000 votes, according to the numbers there. That possibly could flip, but I'm not sure that you're really going to see that. North Carolina is uncalled yet. So if you look at the math, if and only if you have Pennsylvania that goes back to President Trump, Georgia goes to President Trump, North Carolina right now, it's uncalled, 50.1% for Trump, 48.7% for Biden. That's a separation of 73,000 votes. You give Trump Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, he's still going to end up short. That would leave Joe Biden, if he loses Pennsylvania, with the 270 needed. If Trump wins Pennsylvania and can somehow turn Wisconsin, can keep North Carolina, and can turn Georgia, he'll only have 268. So there's another state that has to be in play, and that's probably Arizona. And right now, that might be under recount. I've not heard anywhere that there's an automatic recount for Arizona if it's less than a 1% margin of victory. 49.4% the vote for Biden, 49.1% for President Trump. That's a separation of 42,000. Thank you. 42,000 votes in Arizona. So it's a long ways back. All right. It's a long ways for President Trump. But I just wanted to say, and I'll update the Senate here in the House too, because those numbers matter. But if you'd like to join us, it's 866-627-5483. I was a little worried going into this election because I wanted the rule of law to matter. All right. And I wanted the fact that I think our misleadia was getting away with murder when it came to the stories they were covering, how they were covering them. I don't think, and I think a lot of people share that feeling because you can just see it and you can just smell it. It's in the room. That obviously the media leans quite far to the left, and they're doing us a great injustice if they're not reporting fairly on things. You look at what happened with big tech and their deliberate censorship of certain tweets, and the one in particular that really flies in the face of what we have come to rely on here in our fourth branch of government, the media, was the case where Hunter Biden's laptop was found, and all this evidence put out there that corroborated stories and allegations that Joe Biden was working on behalf of his son through his office, which he completely denied. Those reports are the New York Post and corroborated by a senior executive who had worked with the Biden family, came out on with that. Very, very credible. And big tech just censoring that story. So those things bothered me, all right? And I wanted them to bother America. And I think they did. I think we've seen this. It's not a big blue wave. You saw polls out there that had Biden winning by 10 points in states that he won by maybe one or two. We can talk about polls at some point. I did some research on that and why they've been wrong. But all in all, I think I'm okay because I saw an America that was recognizing that they're being told who to vote for, and that they're not respected. I don't think our media respects our country, your viewpoint. And so that bothered me, but we'll come on back and finish that thought, and then we'll get on the Senate and the House here in just a little bit. Open phones today if you want to join us here, or otherwise I've got some things to share, including magic mushrooms. They're everywhere. Back with more Voices of Montana in a bit. A Pfizer vaccine. I wonder if it's going to change things. I think it'll take a little time to kind of figure that out first, but I think that is good news. We'll maybe get to that here a bit later on as we're talking election 2020 on Voices of Montana. As I mentioned, tomorrow we'll have Governor-elect Greg Gianforte on to talk about that transition. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I know Greg, and I know that he's very organized about these sorts of things. In fact, I just got, this was released yesterday. Maybe I'll pass this along real quick, too. Governor-elect Greg Gianforte called on well-qualified, dedicated innovators to serve Montana and help lead Montana's comeback as he launched servemontana.com, a website in which individuals may submit their credentials for consideration to serve Montana. Servemontana.com for a little more information on that. And I think that's part of the process of transitioning this deep state, this 16-year-long deep state. He also announced, as I mentioned, he's real organized, is a DPHHS Transition Advisory Team. And the idea here, we're in the midst of a public health crisis. We face an epidemic of addiction that has destroyed communities, torn apart families, and left thousands of children in foster care. We need someone leading DPHHS who can address these serious challenges, who will bring back greater accountability and transparency to the agency, and who will help lead Montana's comeback. That's the quote from this release from Governor-elect Greg Gianforte. A lot of names here that, well, I'm not sure that you will recognize for sure, unless you're kind of in the medical field, or these really are mostly in the medical field here. You'll recognize Dr. Al Olszewski, who's an orthopedic surgeon and served in the U.S. Air Force. Thank you. A state senator who Greg Gianforte beat in the June primary, along with Tim Fox. So anyway, we can kind of address that a little bit tomorrow, but I wanted to share just a few thoughts there. to finish up, and not that it's been sitting on my chest a whole lot here, but I am proud that the American people are recognizing, I think, the fact that they're being lied to, that they're being led down certain roads, and that they're kind of calling BS, BS. That's why the media likes Trump an awful lot, because he came in and when he saw it, he called it out. He very much was not gracious about a lot of things. In fact, he had a tongue. Everybody knows that. And that probably is what sent him out of the White House. But I respect the job he done. And I think if you look at the presidency as a whole, it's a huge success. He had just tons of opposition, but he was able to get new trade deals. He brought manufacturing jobs back. Unemployment was at record lows. The economy was booming. I think he moved the pendulum back toward more common sense talk or solutions when it comes to things like the Paris Accords, climate change, or forest management reform, or the Endangered Species Act, grizzly bear recovery. I think he was able to at least move that pendulum back, because for a long time it had swung way left and you couldn't get anything done outside of convincing courts that didn't want to be convinced that conservatives were right on any issue. I'm generalizing there. The Dems spent a ton of money to beat Republicans in this election, and it was really ineffective in a lot of ways. I mean, they outspent in Montana, they outspent Republican opponents 2-1 at least. If you looked at all of the money, and in some races it's 3-1 or even 4-1 when you look at that Senate race. So there's a lot of things, a lot of very good things there, I think, and so there's something to be said about going out with honor, and I want to see the president do that. But I also want to see him kind of continue this cleaning up of the election process. All right, as they have said, now there's a couple of lawsuits, and as they have said, they're about, oh, I don't have it in front of me here. Remember yesterday, a member of the president's team, this maybe 2 days ago, talked about it. Lawsuit that talked about not giving access, meaningful access, to the poll ballot counting in Pennsylvania specifically. And I think the figure that Mike Martin was his name, is that the gentleman's name, president's counsel, said 680-some thousand votes were counted outside of the GOP's representatives in the room. I mean, that raises serious questions. There's a lot of serious questions out there when it comes to our election process, and we've been talking about that for quite some time. I printed it up, but I don't think I brought it in here, a story that I put up on the Facebook page of the New York Post a couple of months ago. They had interviewed, and this for me is a credible story. I know you're going to say the New York Post is going to lean to the right, and it does, all right? But we have to filter through all of our media anymore. And we can see whether it's credible or not. Yes, it's going to lean left, or yes, it's going to lean right. But to get something out of it, to kind of pick it up, something off the shelf and put it in your shopping cart, you're going to have to be the judge of whether this report is biased or unbiased, or this information is unbiased. I thought this report was credible. They had talked to a Democratic operative, and he said that's what he was. And he is paid to commit fraud in elections. And here's how he did it. And he listed things, and so the New York Post checked him out. They didn't just take his word for some Johnny guy off the street about, here's how I win elections. It's very serious to me, all right? And I brought that to our attention. There's a lot of these things that are, whether you just say they're irregular or not, they ought not to be in our election process. So I don't want to see the president concede the election, because then all of this cleaning up that could happen goes away. And I think it's one more thing that Donald Trump does for America, is that if he continues to, I don't think he's going to win this. I think he knows that as well. But this cleaning up process of the election needs to happen, and it only happens if a guy like Donald Trump is going to force this issue. So That's a thought on that. I guess I got to take a break here. Look at me go. Karen, stand by. We'll get to your thoughts here on the election as well. And 866-627-5483 for more thoughts. All right, Senate results upcoming, House results upcoming as well. Let's take a quick phone call. Listening in Hardin, Montana, on the Mighty 790 KGHL out of Billings is Karen. Karen, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
The election was so confusing this year that no one knew who to vote for. I'm a Democrat, so I voted for Biden, and I'm not too sure how many people will hate me because I voted for Biden.
We won't hate you. They won't hate you.
Okay. But when I was younger, no one... You already knew who won the election at 8 or 10 o'clock in the evening. Now it takes 2-3 days or a week to find out who won the election.
Do you trust the election results, Karen?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, it might be fixed. There's people that go in and vote 2-3 times in the election, or they go in and write in dead people's names off of cemetery graves and vote and have them vote when their votes don't even count because they're passed away.
So and this is where I'm at a little bit. If we don't trust our election results, what should we do about that?
Well, we need to have people monitoring the election.
And they do, both sides and independent parties. But this is where some of the irregularities happen, Karen, is that, and this is what they're charging in Pennsylvania as well, that at one point, the GOP claims that they were escorted, not allowed to meaningfully monitor some ballots. And the number that was thrown out there was 682,000 of them. So, and those are just little irregularities. And everybody, you know, you get all these reports from this major media, the misleadia, and they say no significant, and there's no evidence of significant voter fraud. Well, if there's evidence of voter fraud, why don't we go and prosecute the voter fraud and eradicate that kind of behavior? And some of those things, you're right. In Wayne County, Michigan, in one batch of ballots, 60% had the same signatures. In one batch of ballots in Wayne County, this was according to a lawsuit by the Trump administration. Those things, why don't we shine the light on that? Huge light. All right, break. Back with more Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
You know what? I want to thank you people who are putting up your Christmas lights early. Putting up your Christmas decorations early. I know we're not even to Thanksgiving yet, and it's taboo. Don't let Christmas come early. But the heck with that. 2020 has beat us up and down. And I think folks are putting up their Christmas decorations early because we need a little extra Christmas cheer, don't we? I mean, I'm ready for some good old-fashioned Christmas fun. So thank you very much for that. And maybe it's kind of a white flag as well, the 2020 going, come on, 2020, it's Christmas time. Stop with it. Stop. Thank you for that. I was one of those people who let's have our holidays in order. Okay. But, this year I'm sort of appreciating a little more Christmas cheer. One of the things that might be a Christmas present for us, it might be, I guess, because it's really too hard to tell. That's the whole thing about COVID-19 is that there are so many question marks regarding it that it's one step forward and a step sideways, two steps back, a twirl around. Anyway, Pfizer has announced that they have what they call a 90% vaccine, 90% effective vaccine. And their partner is BioNTech, which is a German company. It was the first tested in the United States to generate large stage data. That's part of the problem that we've had is getting some large stage data, late stage data, I should say, regarding these vaccines. So this would work, two injections of the vaccine 3 weeks apart, and those individuals experienced more than 90% fewer cases of symptomatic COVID-19. It's the good news, but, I mean, it's kind of hard to sort of figure out exactly what the impact is going to be because we don't have a ton of ladder data on it. So we don't really have any information yet on whether this vaccine prevents people from carrying the virus without symptoms, and no information yet on whether the vaccine prevents severe cases that have caused hospitalizations and of course, our deaths. But because the vaccine has only been studied for just a matter of months, it's impossible, experts say, to determine how long it will protect against infections. But, I should pass along while I'm talking about it here. Aches and fevers, as far as side effects goes, they say comparable to a standard adult vaccine, but probably worse than pneumonia vaccines or flu shots. Anyway, that's the good news, and I certainly do appreciate that. There's one other thing I wanted to pass along here, too, and it's medically related. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has sent a team of healthcare workers to support some of our local hospitals. Danes requested and received help from the CDC for Yellowstone County, Cascade County. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services specifically noted here help headed for Billings Clinic in St. Vincent. I'm glad to see this, all right? There are other ways that the government can help. It seems like the only way that we have thought about, and I guess I'm generalizing and summarizing a little bit, but it seems like the only way that we have thought that we can, you know, flatten the curve and slow down the spread is to shut everything down. Shut it all down. An awful lot of that talk when it came to this vaccine, it helped, all right? I wear masks. I have hand sanitizer. I'm doing the things because you can kill the virus. You can. That's what you do with this thing. All right. That's why you have the alcoholic sanitizers, because it will kill the virus. Anyway, I'm glad to see that we are also looking at giving our medical personnel more and more help. I know it was a matter too of getting tests built and getting protective equipment built, but I think there was way too much of that shutdown only kind of mentality here, and hopefully a lot of that goes away. We need to get out from underneath this. So let's go back to where I sort of left off. I guess there's a few things that I want to finish off here. I know that we had COVID-19 throw everything off, but that's not a reason to throw out our Constitution. That's not a reason to just let anything and everything happen when it comes to elections. I know we've had to make some considerations there, but let's not let that mentality take over. And we look at some of these allegations, and they've been going on. And Josh pointed out he saw a CNN report that had Republicans on wearing the other shoe. They were defending the election process from fraud. And I know that that goes on. It's kind of a human thing. There's a temptation to want to do what you can to get into office. It kind of amounts to, what they might think of as just bullying. You're not allowed, you're Republican and you're not allowed in, or you're treated rather harshly. The opposition is wearing Biden T-shirts. And, I don't care if, and so the media just tends to blow it off a little bit. Okay, no serious, no significant voter fraud. And I don't care if it's just bullying by the other party, whatever party it is. That's breaking the law. Okay, and, if you just allow these tiny ways to break the law, then what you have is a breakdown of the law. And that's what I worry about when it comes to our election process. Want to share one here from our text page at 781-627-5483. I'm just going to edit this a little bit. Election fraud is like embezzling. It starts out small, and the more they get away with, the bigger and bigger it gets. And I've looked at a lot of this, okay? And really, honestly, there is no huge, significant election fraud taking place. I think I can say that. But I'm still very concerned that any of it takes place and that the media just says, oh, you know, it's just playful bullying, or the liberals are celebrating a little bit early and inappropriately. And it just, let's clean that up. Let's take a call. Listening in, Helena Wayne on, what is it? What's our station up there? KCAP, 950 AM. Glory be. Wayne, thanks. You're on the air here on Voices of Montana.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I love listening to your show. I do get a kick out of, folks that, bring up the defects in the election process. I don't think that there's anywhere that we're in, we can have the expectation of a perfect election, but we should have the expectation of a fair election. And it's interesting that, they talk about dead people voting and the like. And I think some people voted early by mail because they thought they wouldn't be around because of COVID. And, when you have 100 million people mailing in their ballots, several weeks before an election, some of them are bound to pass by the time the votes are counted. And I wouldn't doubt that there are some people that voted on election day that died later that day. So I get such a kick out of these people that think that only, for instance, a person that may have passed would only have voted for Biden rather than Trump. And fraud occurs on both sides of the aisle, both Republican and Democrat. And I think that the Republicans, in this case, would I just like to point to it in general because their person lost. Now, to say that only Democrats commit voter fraud and Republicans don't would be ridiculous. And, one other comment, about your misleadia.
The misleadia? Yeah.
and there's a lot of truth to that. I believe your term is better than fake media. And misleadia to me is for the person not to challenge what the other person is saying.
Yeah.
And, you can't tell me that Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Joe Pags and Mark Levine aren't part of the misleadia on the right. Whereas you have Rachel Maddow and company on the left, they're misleadia. And there's just a lot of that out there. And then one example that I would like to give, I'm probably taking too much of your show up here, but, weeks ago or months ago, you were interviewing, I think it was the Republican Party chairman in Montana, and he said that, oh, Trump's going to take California. And I thought, really? And, I pulled that up today, and, Trump's only trailing Biden by 5 million votes in California. And, that sort of thing doesn't do anything. I mean, those types of comments from suspected or people you have an expectation to get reasonable information from and putting it out there, and then all of a sudden that becomes Trump's going to take California kind of thing. And I know you weren't. You were probably pretty skeptical when you heard that.
You have to kind of let people – Wayne, thank you for that. I appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break. And I appreciate the call, and I appreciate those comments. No perfect election. I get that. I'm going to run out of time here today. Maybe we'll come back, and I want to ask you that question. Do you trust these elections? It does happen on both sides. You kind of look at, where the message is coming from. And the person who said, Trump's going to win California, they're standing from their viewpoint. You got to let people be people, I guess, is what I say. They're sort of cheerleading in that regard. Anyway, thank you for your call. I got to take a quick break. Sue, hang on. Also listening in Helena as we'll continue here on Voices of Montana. All right, quickly get to some text messages here, and then Sue, stand by. If all this evidence is out there of voter fraud, where is it? So far, every case Trump and the GOP have filed have been dismissed for lack of evidence. Trump lost the election, and he needs to get over it and get a peaceful transition started like every other president in history. Appreciate that. We'll have some comments on that as we continue. Also, Tom, I think that in order for the public to trust our election process, it has to be trustworthy. And so what the Trump administration is doing right now is a necessary step in gaining that trust. I appreciate it. This is Steve from Great Falls. And maybe if fixing all the ways people can game our present system are fixed, Trump might find a path to victory. I don't necessarily see that that's going to happen, but at the very least, we'll have a better system. And that's why, that's kind of where I'm going to stand on it right here. I really don't want him to concede at this point because I think that just wipes everything off underneath the rug. And what we do need is a cleaning process. So I like to keep that alive. Sue, listening in our capital city on 950 AM. Now, Sue, thanks. You're on the air.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick. I think that no matter which side of the aisle you're on, you want a fair election. Where I am concerned is, like one of your text messages said, if there's voter fraud, show us. And I haven't seen any of the folks on the Democratic side of the aisle not discount. I mean, I think people want a recount. You know, a recount takes, what, a couple of days or however long. And then maybe then that will kind of ease some of the temperature and the tension. My own conspiracy theory is I feel like maybe a couple months ago, Trump was sort of started to see the writing on the wall. And so he kind of planted these conspiracy theories out there so that when it got to where it is today, he had a little bit of a base. I do think we should have a recount. But one more thing is the Republicans did very well in this election. What I see nationwide is that we rejected President Trump, but the Republican base and the Republicans did very well nationally. So if there's a lot of voter fraud, then it wasn't very good fraudulent actions because the Republicans basically won except for the presidency. So that's kind of where I'm at. I know it's kind of all over the map, but I feel like it's important to have a fair election. And I think a recount is super important.
Thank you. Do you trust our election process as it is right now?
I do trust it. I think it's bizarre that all of a sudden this year there's like this all this election fraud out there, and I don't know. I trust it. I think what I saw in Montana, of course, our little world, I thought it was super perfect. My husband had never voted really much before, and he registered to vote the appropriate ID was required. When we dropped off our ballots, our mail-in ballots, they gave us a slip to tell us when our ballot was counted. And I don't know how you could do it better than that.
Yeah.
I believe even without the COVID virus, we would probably have done it the same way had we had that opportunity. You know, I got my little vote sticker that I like to get.
Me too.
When I dropped it off. And I feel very, very confident. Very confident in our process. But I'm not in Philadelphia. I'm not in New Detroit. I'm not in Atlanta. So I don't know what goes on there. I haven't seen any evidence, but again, my little world, probably not going to see it here.
Great point, Sue. I appreciate that. I appreciate the call as well. We'll leave it at that. We'll continue, though, to, in our position at least, try to hold our election process accountable. Guys, see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.